This is going to be a longer service. So for those of you who like big cups of coffee, there'll be a seventh inning stretch coming up in a little bit. And we'll continue on after that. Here's the truth. Lorne and I stand here. It's a miracle that we look at each other sometimes and go, golly, we actually get paid to do this. Because we do it anyways. It's the Holy Spirit stirs in our lives because God loves people, and he draws them to his son, and then he gives them to each other. And this, the delight we have this morning in seeing each other and saying, hello, friends, hello, family, hello, brothers and sisters, that's God's plan to rescue the world, isn't it? It's something simple. Jesus gave his life so we'd become sons and daughters of God and brothers and sisters with each other. I've had the delight of sharing this message for the last 6 years. Pastor Lorne and Jeanette had the delight of sharing this message for the past 18 years. So Lorne is going to talk about how God moved within his heart and the hearts of the men and women here to start this lovely little work. And just pray for Lorne briefly, and away you go. Father, I pray actually just for this brief moment that every person in this room and building would sense the depth of your affection for them. And that as Lorne speaks, that he might give word to your love for people and your never failing care for them. Fill him anew with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving him strength to stand amongst us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Girls, that was an awesome song. I just love that. Thank you so much. You know, Jeanette and I talk about our years here, and we miss so much of interacting together with you, but it really hits home when we're here again how much we miss you all. Ellie and the team singing and leading us into the presence of the Lord. Just the joy of fellowship and community and being family together. Sylvester, brother, I missed listening to you talk to Jesus. That is awesome. And it is really good to be together. It is amazing to me that every one of us, and many more who couldn't be here today, have been touched by God through this part of his church that we call Living Hope. It's amazing to me what God has done. Some of you are here today as followers of Jesus because God touched your heart through a part of Living Hope. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. Some of you are baptized today because God grew you in your faith to the point where you said, I want to stand up and publicly declare that I'm a follower of Jesus. Now, I remember Scott baptizing him in De Slough, and he tried to dunk me after I dunked him. So he had to go down twice. God has used some of us for the first time in our lives in leadership positions when we became part of Living Hope. Kicking and screaming and crying, but he got us there. And we were stretched. Some of you never shared your faith with anyone before God used someone in this group to bring you to the awareness and encourage you to the point where you can say to your neighbor, hey, I love you and so does Jesus. Amen. It's wonderful. And we could keep going on and on and on, and it's hard to believe that that's all 25 years ago. Except when I look in the mirror, then I know it is. And when I look out there, I think maybe 30. Some of you are getting it now, aren't you? What I would like to do just for a couple of minutes, friends, is I want to, if you were part of the initial group that started Living Hope, I want to take you back. And if you've been grafted in somewhere along the way, I want to give you a sense of what it was like to be used by God in the early times of this church and continuing on. Carla and Bob, or should I say Pastor Carla and Pastor Bob, which is awesome, They talk through some of it, so I'm going to sort of skim over some of those areas. But in 1993 and 1994, the Conference of Mennonites in BC, which was our founding denomination, they began to have a burden to plant churches. And it was so wonderful to see how God worked in our greater denomination, that there was a burden that people needed to know Jesus. And there were areas in our Lower Mainland community that were underrepresented with churches, and maybe we could do something about it. So they sent Jeanette and I to an assessment center, a church planter's assessment center, worst week of my life. But they said, yeah, maybe you could try planning a church. But at the same time, he was working in a group of people from First United Mennonite Church, who had moved many into the North Delta, Surrey area. He was working in a couple of couples who were at Bethel Mennonite Church, who lived in this area, and he was preparing all sorts of things together. So about January, I guess, maybe even in 1993, but January 1994, I remember clearly that we started meeting in Hans Gerhardt Fast's basement. There was a group meeting there praying, Carla's dad. And they were praying that God would work in them. They were praying that God would work in the community. And we got linked up with them. And it became a wonderful time of building relationships, of allowing God to do something different in us. Because I think all of us would say, it was a bit scary doing what we were called to do, but we wanted to do that. So God brought the denomination to the point where they wanted to plant a church. God brought us to the point where we were willing to plant a church. And God brought a core group of people together who said, yes, we're willing to plant a church as well. We had very little money. We had no building, but somehow we believed that God could do something through us, not because we were anything special, because we weren't. We often said in services, you know, Living Hope is a group of ordinary people worshiping an extraordinary God. That's who we were. And we believed that God could somehow take willing hearts, even if they were a little shaky and a little scared and a little uncertain, and he could use us to make a difference in the lives of our neighbors, in the lives of our friends, in the lives of our community. So we began a journey. A 10-month journey from January till October 16th, 1994, when the church had its first public worship service. We prayed a lot. We did a lot of discerning. We had to create teams for everything. Worship teams, setup teams. Many of you don't even probably know what a setup team is, but our whole church was packed into a trailer. And we had to back it up every Sunday morning to the back of the Pinewood Leisure Center. And we had to pull out the piano and the sound equipment and everything else that you needed to put on a service and in the community. So we had a setup team. We had Sunday school teams. We had worship teams. And many of the folks who made those teams had never been on similar teams before. But they were saying, God, you're calling, and I'm willing, and would you use whatever I have to make a difference? It was incredible. We started building relationships with neighbors and friends because we said if we're going to plant a church, we don't want just to have people come Sunday mornings. We want to impact where we live. We want to impact the townhouse complexes we live in. We want to impact the neighborhoods we live in. We want to impact the places of business that we work at. We wanted Jesus to shine through us to impact other people. So we started to do that. It was already mentioned, we made over 5,000 calls, and you know, that was amazing. But as I think back on that, the fruit of those calls was not that we had thousands of people come. The fruit of that was that we as a core group were willing to do something completely out of our comfort zone and trust God. It really was. And I remember one person who was on our core group, who will remain nameless at this point, he was so scared. And I think we all were, but he'd sit at his chair, because we went to the Power to Change building in Langley where they had a whole bank of phones, and we all phoned together because we needed each other if we were going to do this. And he sat at his chair, and he would just shake. and he would reach out for the phone, and his hand would be moving, and he'd pull it back. He couldn't do it. And his hand would reach out again. And then he'd take that phone, and he would do it. And I remember when he made his first phone call, he was so happy. He was willing to be stretched to serve the Lord. We sent out a whole bunch of mailings to our community. We bought a trailer. We did all those sorts of things. And everyone who was part of that core group was integrally involved in planting this church. There was no dead weight, so to speak. Everyone did something. Most people did two or three things. And together, we were able to do what God called us to do. Probably the number one word that characterized those early years was sacrifice. Jeanette and I were so humbled by the level of commitment and sacrifice that core group and that those people of those early years had. It was amazing. We had to coordinate our holidays for the first couple of years because we were just a small group. The initial core group was about 17 people. It was very small. And if like eight of them are gone on a Sunday, that's kind of traumatic. So we coordinated holidays so that we'd be able to carry on with the worship services when people took well-deserved holidays. People were willing to sacrifice so much financially and time-wise and all sorts of different ways. So you might be saying, Lauren, why in the world do you think that you and this core group were willing to do that? Some of you in the core group might still be asking that question. Why were we willing to do that? Friends, the answer is two things. And it comes right back to the great commandment in Matthew chapter 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. You see, God called us as a church to two things, and they're reflected in the motto that this church still has today: to enjoy God or to love God, and to share Him with others. See, we had the audacity as a core group to take God at His word that a relationship with Him is just not a Sunday morning thing for an hour or two, but it can pervade every area of our lives. And it can be intimate, and it can be meaningful, and it can be the joy of our lives to walk with Jesus. We believe that. Now, that's a process. That doesn't mean that as soon as we planted the church, everyone was just flying high spiritually all the time. In fact, we all, at different times, had low times. But we believed that God was calling us to know Him, to love Him, and to enjoy Him. In fact, as I walked around the Pinewood the Pinewood community, talking with people in that community, there were several things that they said would stop them from coming to church. And one was this: that Christians have no joy. And we said, well, we got to change that. Far too many of us have been baptized in lemon juice, and we've forgotten how the joy of the Lord. And we said we wanted a church where the joy of Jesus shone through in every way. And it doesn't mean that we overlook problems. It doesn't mean that we push things under the rug. It doesn't mean we never have hard times. But it means that the joy of the Lord can carry us through those times. And it did. And He did. So we believed that a relationship with God was a vital part of our lives. And secondly, we believed that if we're going to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it has to be shown in sharing Him with other people. That we cannot keep the blessing of Jesus to ourselves. Now, none of us were tremendously skilled nor experienced in sharing Jesus with other people. But somehow, a love for Jesus moved us to the point where we said, oh God, we are scared like crazy to step into this. But we believe You'll help us, and we want to do what You've called us to do. So we trust You. Enjoying God and sharing Him with others. That's why we did what we did. That's why this church was started. To enjoy God, to love God, and to share Him with others. So October 16th, 1994 came and went, and then the real wild ride began. We thought the first 10 months or before was traumatic. The next years were exciting. I called them the best of times and the hardest of times. Not the worst of times, because they were wonderful times. But they were not easy. But we saw people come to know Jesus Christ. How exciting is that? For a church to be able to celebrate new life in Christ. We saw baptisms. Who remembers baptisms in hot tubs? We would rent a hot tub out the behind Pinewood Leisure Center there, and we'd set it up, and people would be playing soccer Sunday mornings in the fields, and we'd have baptisms. People would come and look over the fence. What's going on there? It was really cool to be able to publicly declare. Anyone remember Mike Walter's baptism? This was amazing. He was a lovely, I just love the guy. He was an Elvis impersonator. So that tells you something about his character and how he likes to have fun. So I put him under the water and I bring him up and he's spewing water like a fountain. And it's just like this. And I instantly had two thoughts. My first thought was, if I would have been in the first church I pastored, the deacons would have called me into my office and I would have been in so much trouble. And my second thought was, I think Jesus is happy. I think Jesus is happy. It was amazing. We saw people baptized. We saw cell groups that we had set up in those first 10 months, and then we had multiplied so that they were not full, so there'd be room for new people. We saw them fill up and multiply. How exciting was that? We'd go on church retreats, and we'd have community kickoffs right back here with a hot air balloon. It was amazing. We saw God open doors to a whole bunch of different communities. When we started Living Hope, we were a very Anglo congregation. In fact, all of us were Anglo. And we were in our mid-20s to mid-30s. Many couples just starting to have families. And God started doing something in us, changing our DNA to make us an international church. And what joy came with that. Started with Pastor Jonathan and the Mandarin folks. Actually, it started with Pastor Catherine down in White Rock, Harold and Catherine. Started a Mandarin ministry that ultimately ended up with a campus in White Rock and eventually an independent church there. We saw God, like Bob and Carla mentioned, Pastor Paul and the beautiful African folks who joined our congregation, who taught us something about the depth of worship, about the fact that God can do more than our Western thinking sometimes tells us he can. And I remember Pastor Paul telling me a story, and it just blew my mind, that he said he and several other church leaders were on the way to a speaking engagement, and they were trusting God for that people would come to know him there, and their car broke down on the way. There's no BCAA in Nigeria. They what were they going to do? And they did something I wouldn't have thought of in my life. They laid hands on the car, and they prayed. And they said, God, we believe that you have us for an appointment with destiny, that you want to do something through us, but we need to get there, and this car is not cooperating. So would you do something? And then they got into that car, they turned the key, it started, and they drove to the meeting. They taught us that God could do abundantly more than we ask or think. And it expanded our box of what we thought in those areas. For a little while, God brought in some Spanish people. We had a Spanish translator right up in that booth. And then, in probably one of the defining moments for Living Hope, God brought in the Karen people. What a joy. And I'll never forget, my office was right here. I'll never forget the day that you, Mr. Thane, came into my office. And you said, Pastor, would it be all right if I invited some friends to church? And I said, well, of course, Mr. Thane. That's what we've been talking about being the kind of people who make a difference in others' lives. So he left. And the next Sunday, 17 people walked in, Karen folks. And it was wonderful. Yeah, let's give them a hand. And that Karen ministry just blossomed and grew and God changed who we were to be able to help and make a difference and love and be loved back by the Karen people. It was such a wonderful time. It was amazing. And we learned from you wonderful Karen people what we thought we understood sacrifice. You taught us what sacrifice is all about. We thought we understood commitment. You taught us what commitment was all about. We went to Sullivan and attempted to plant a campus there. We sponsored refugees. Remember how exciting that was as we prayed that God would open the door? And what a joy it was when our new friends came up onto this stage and we welcomed them here to Canada. We saw much spiritual growth. I remember in the early years, in a period of 18 months, one-third of the church moved away. That was so hard. We just thought we were getting somewhere, getting a critical mass moving forward, and a third of the people moved away. And we were forced to recognize that God's provision is adequate. And we had to change our mindset. Rather than saying, well, we just want to build up a group here, our mindset switched to God, for however long you give us with whoever you lead through these doors, would you use us to make a difference in their lives so when they leave here, they bring a part of you, they bring a part of Living Hope with them to their next place. And that kind of changed our perspective and changed our focus there a little bit. We were in the Pinewood Leisure Center. Then we went to the Pinewood Elementary School. And then, you know, God started doing some weird things, because I remember, where's Tom Miller? Is he here somewhere? There he is. I remember Tom coming to me and saying, Lauren, I think we should talk to Cedar Hills about renting their facility. And I thought, really? Because at that time, there wasn't wholehearted excitement about Living Hope here in Surrey. But we decided we'd pray about it. And I prayed and I said, Lord, if this is of you, would you cause Cedar Hills to talk to me rather than me talking to them? 2 days later, I got a phone call from Pastor Claire. And he says, Lauren, I want to take you for lunch. And he invited us to share this facility. It was amazing. What a wonderful group of people we learned to love in Cedar Hills. We would meet at 9 and they would meet at 11. And then their pastor left, so we would meet at 9, and then our leadership would preach and lead for them. And eventually, God brought those two congregations together, and some of them are still here, the Dirksons and others, and what a joy that was. And I have to tell you, I never thought that would happen. God can do abundantly more than we can ask or think. We went to battle together. And as I was preparing for what I was going to say, I realized that over 30, I guess, 2 years of ministry now, the times that, I want to say this right, the most meaningful relationships that we have experienced in ministry, the most exciting times of being stretched and used by God in Jeanette and in my life have been here. It was such a blessing to be able to be here for 18 years. You have no idea how you've poured into Jeanette and my life, how you've changed us, how God used you to help us grow spiritually and to prepare us to do things that we never thought. In 25 years, there are highs, but there were also lows. There were hard times. There were successes. And we need to recognize that there also were failures. There were many things, friends, that I wish I had done differently. Can't go back in time. There were many things I think that we as a congregation would have said, I wish we would have done differently. There were hurts. There was necessity to work through forgiving each other, extending forgiveness and receiving it. There was some painful times. And if we're completely honest, maybe there's still some things that God wants to work through in our lives with pain in the past. Amen. And you know, maybe that's part of the reason why we're gathering together here today, that as we come together and remember the goodness and the faithfulness of God, we're reminded that also there were struggles, but God can set us free from those as well. He can. He can and he will. See, every church, Every church, big or small, wherever they're located, has wonderful stories of joy, and they have tough stories of struggle. Because doing life together in the body of Christ is about recognizing that we need to learn how to extend grace to people the way God extended grace to us. And we're imperfect at that. We struggle at that, with that at times. But let's never give up trying. Let's never give up loving each other. You know, one of the things that we just came through this election campaign, I'm not going to talk about politics, but we just came through this election campaign, and one of the things that bothers me the most in our culture today is we've lost the ability to talk together if we have a disagreement. We attack people rather than being able to talk about stuff. And I think sometimes that invades the church of Jesus Christ as well. Friends, may God give us grace that when differences come, that we can talk together, recognizing that the bond we have in Jesus Christ is stronger than any difference we have. And at the end of the day, we might agree to bless each other as people go different ways. That's fine. But we do that loving each other. We do that allowing God to use us to show respect and care for people, even if we don't agree with them. Amen. I need to stop. I think I'm over my 15 minutes. or over my 30 minutes, whatever it might be. Couple more comments. 25 years and 11 days ago was the first worship celebration of Living Hope. A few of you were there for that occasion. Many of you have been grafted in, and that is a good thing. And I pray that that will always continue. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The focus of that verse, friends, is not living hope. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's because of Jesus we have a living hope. So my encouragement and my challenge to you as Living Hope folks here and for all of us who might be worshiping in different places, the motto that this group chose to love God and to share him with others is a universal motto. It's something that God calls us to. So friends, do not grow weary in learning to love God. Invest in your relationship with Jesus. And never grow tired of sharing your faith in deed and in word, because we never know how God will use us to make a difference in someone's eternity. May God bless you richly in the next 25 years. And Lord willing, in 25 years, I hope to come back. But I'm going to be pretty old by then, so who knows? God bless you.